right here for you on My 9. Joining me, my colleagues this week, Roman Oben, Jeff Eagles, and Imani Toomer. And guys, this was just flat out bad, and two things are glaring to me. Number one, 27 yards rushing on the day, and number two, it was all there in front of the Giants. All division rivals lose today. They have a chance to be 1-1 tied for the division lead, and they just took, to me, a step backwards because that was a bad performance.
Yeah, Russ, I mean, this type of game is going to go back and forth, and for me, it really goes back to the first half when it's 10-9 going in at halftime. You say, okay, we're hanging in there. It's pretty even. But you still kicked three field goals in the first half against a very good defense and a very good team, and you can't feel good about that because that's going to hurt you later on in the game. So kicking those field goals and not converting it in the red zone is really what killed this team later on in the game.
Part of converting in the red zone, Roman, is being able to run the football. The Giants have not been able to run the football, not only today, but last week also. You're coming out when you have non-manageable situations in second and third down. You go into third and longs. The Giants were 1 of 11 today on third down. You can't get it done offensively, and that you have to abandon the run game and then go into the passing game. Eli throws his fourth interception. I think it's the first time in his career he's done that today. The turnovers are killing the Giants and their rhythm.
Yeah, it just looks like this team hasn't gotten into a rhythm since the preseason. They haven't really turned up, and they don't have the sense of urgency. It seems like they're making miscommunications, a lot of interceptions thrown errantly. It just seems like a situation where they need to figure out what they want to do in terms of being an offense, what kind of team they really want to be, because if they become one-dimensional, it's going to be very tough for this team to win, because Kevin Gilbride's offense always wants a 50-50 balance, and we're not getting it right now.
No balance whatsoever. And listen, we were talking all week. We were talking from preseason about this particular game, the Manning Bowl. Let's take a look at the numbers of the Manning Bowl and see how the guys, the brothers, shaped up with each other today. And I'll tell you, you look at the yardage, it's 307 to 362, but those four interceptions are just glaring. Guys, what'd you think of Big Brother and Little Brother?
Every time Eli plays his older brother, he just seems like he presses too much. And it's very uncharacteristic of him because he's usually so even-keeled, easygoing. But when he plays his brother, there's just something that happens. You see him take a lot of shots today that you ordinarily wouldn't have taken down the field, and he ended up into some interceptions.
Taking shots, I mean, he was taking shots. The first time I've seen Eli Manning take shots on the field like he did, that pass rush for the Broncos was for real. And I believe that the Giants' offensive line is starting to become a liability more than an asset it always has in the past, and it's starting to show because the Giants haven't been able to run the ball, like I just said. But, the Manning Bowl, it wasn't much of a Manning Bowl today.
Yeah, and
there's another bowl I'm thinking about, but this is...
and Russ, let's look at the two defenses that played against these two quarterbacks. You're talking about a John Fox led defense for Denver, and then a Parafield defense for the Giants, who wanted to play good against the opposing quarterback because they knew what was at stake here, the Manning Bowl, wanting to outdo each other. Again, Peyton Manning didn't throw seven touchdowns like he did opening day last Thursday. And Eli Manning, one touchdown, four interceptions. So, the defenses did a good job containing Peyton Manning at times, but the game got out of hand with those interceptions and the inability to run the ball, because when Denver tried to run the ball, they were effective. When they wanted to run the ball, they ran the ball effectively, especially around the edges.
And you talk about that punt return for a touchdown. You cannot win many games, especially when you have Peyton Manning on the other side giving up a punt return for a touchdown. And those are just the mistakes that just compile upon themselves. And this Denver Bronco team, they look like they're a team that nobody's going to be able to beat, the way they've been knocking people out in the third quarter with their explosion of points.
I would agree with that, except for one thing. If you're only rushing for 27 yards, you're knocking yourself out. You're not giving yourself a fighting chance to win, no matter what kind of offensive air attack you have. Anyway, we've got a lot more coming up. Once again, a final for MetLife Stadium, 41-23. Giants and Eli Manning on the wrong end of that score. Stay right where you are. We've got the head coach coming up, Tom Coughlin, and a whole lot more. All right, once again, folks, 41-23 Broncos and Big Brother Peyton beat up Eli and the Giants. Again, 41-23. While we're waiting on head coach Tom Coughlin to hear what he has to say, and I'm sure it's not going to be very nice, just bring up a few points. I thought a killer was at the end of the first half. We were talking about you can't go for field goals. You got to get those touchdowns sometimes. But If they kick a field goal to go up instead of that interception, then they're up 12-10, and they're getting the ball to start the second half. So I really thought that was a kill. And I don't know whose interception, if that was his fault or it was miscommunication, but something was cockeyed on that. You tell me from a receiver standpoint. What
it was,
do you think?
It was definitely a miscommunication. Usually Eli doesn't throw the ball directly to the opposing team. I think one of the receivers probably should have broke off or something. He was expecting him to go towards the end zone and give the Giants a chance to win. But that's what happens when you've got a whole bunch of new people. You put them in together, and they don't get the chance to gel in the preseason. And, you know, a lot of people were kind of hushing, you know, not really paying much attention to the ineffectiveness of the Giants offense during the preseason. But now this is what you see when the first team in the preseason doesn't play well. It always runs over.
All right, what do you say we go right down to MetLife Stadium to hear from Tom Coughlin?
Even despite the interception right before the half, which we would have counted on field goal being made there if we didn't score, which would have given us a lead at halftime. But to come back out in the middle of the third quarter and have that other interception, to give them the ball in that position on the field, I mean, in my opinion, a huge, huge turning point in the game. You know, quite frankly, to be able to not be able to run the ball, to have have so few attempts at rushing the ball, it's just not our style. You know, we haven't had a lot of success with it, and to see the ball thrown that many times and some of the results are very difficult to explain. So I thought that our defense played hard. I thought they handled the tempo that the Denver offense was trying to utilize, whether it was hurried up or whether it was slowed down. I thought we did well with that. You know, they made some plays, no doubt, but we made some plays too. And we kept a very high-powered offense under control that if we would have had some consistency over four quarters on offense, even if it was the kicking of field goals the way it was going, it would have been a decision that would have been made in the fourth quarter. So very disappointed, frustrated. I can understand how some of the players feel. The whole point is that we have to hang in there. We have 14 games to go. We've been 0-2 before. We've dug ourselves into a hole before and been able to fight our way out of it. When we did, it was with team. But the performance level has to come up. Thought our punting game was not up to standards tonight. We had talked all week about not punting the ball down the middle of the field to this guy, and that's pretty much all that was down the middle of the field. And the last one, which was a poorly punted ball, really rose up to bite us in the tail. So lots of work to be done. As I said, into the third quarter and middle of the third quarter, the game was basically being played the way we would want it to be played. Our defense was doing some good things. We were kicking field goals rather than scoring touchdowns. That's an issue. But a highly competitive game turned into the kind of sloppy finish with a couple of interceptions at the end and the punt return.
What was your assessment of what's wrong with the
game? Without looking at the tape, there seems to be we're not running through very many arms. Okay, and we don't have a lot of clear paths.
What's your concern for Eli?
Well, I think Eli would be the first to say that it's not the way we want it to be. And somehow, some way, we got to stop the interceptions. Whether, you know, you're looking at a two-edged sword now. You know, you put yourself in a position where you are throwing the ball a little bit better than you are running it. And so now if you're going to try to tighten it up a little bit, as I say, you're going to have some run game to go with it. So, well, they both had basically plays, if you will, things that they were going to be utilized for. And Darrell was pretty much a third down guy. Brandon was to be the short yardage goal line, and David had his special plays as well.
What was the sense like? What did you
Well, you put an awful lot into it, and it was a good week. They worked hard this week, and they came in, and it was the point was that that they were going to prepare harder and work harder, and they did. I thought they did, and it's frustrating not to win. I don't know. I didn't see the numbers. Obviously, we didn't keep the ball very well. I would say on some occasions it was pressure. Other occasions it was coverage, you know, without looking at the tape. Well, I think he's fine. I mean, I think he probably dislocated the finger, and they put it back in, and he went back in the game. Well, I could stand up here and be fiery if that's what everybody wants. But, you know, it's, I mean, there's a little bit of a hole in my stomach right now, too. So, and I am, you know, I'm greatly disappointed. What can I tell you, you know? Well, anytime you don't have any statistics to show for it, and we're certainly not knocking them back off the ball. Now, let's give credit where credit is due. They have a good defensive team. I have a very good defensive team. You ask about third down, they were, what, third last year in third down defense? And their front is big and strong and powerful. And so they're a good defensive team. But, I mean, you got to have a better run result than we're having.
The interception you referred to in the third quarter, hit off the defensive backs, but popped into the air.
Oh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that, Gary. It just was a play that we thought we should have made, and we didn't. We were running a slant, and the first indication that trouble was there was the defender's arm reaching in toward the ball, just as the receiver was doing the same thing, and so it wasn't clean. The ball gets knocked down rather than caught, and when you see it bounce up in the air like that in heavy traffic, that's not a good sign. We always talk about get the ball. You know, when the ball's on the ground, it's ours, but we haven't gotten many of them. And that was in our hands even, and we didn't get it. So that's part of the frustration. Yeah, there was contain issues on those two plays. And I'm sure there was no one up on the edge, no one providing a contain element to the defense. And I'll have to look and see at that. Well, we had obviously deferred so that we would get the kickoff in the second half, and that was just a strategic move on our part. It looked like it was going to work out. It worked out well when they fumbled their opening drive. But I didn't think. I thought we came out from the half. I mean, I thought we were in good shape. You know, we'd like to have had the lead, but we didn't. We were excited about coming out and getting the ball. Well, no, it was mentioned in here right now. Okay.
All right, well, Tom Coughlin, to me, he seemed remarkably calm compared to last week. I think he's taken it in stride. He did allude to something that we all looked at one another and felt that was a turning point to the game. Why don't you pick it up, Jeff?
It was in the third. Unfortunately, you know, the ball bounces in somebody else's hand. You know, the Broncos go down there and score, and it makes it a two-touchdown game. But the fact is that Tom Coughlin had just said how they came out in the second half, and they were ready to play. They got the game to where they wanted to be, but it just kind of got away from them on that play particularly. It's unfortunate. It goes right into the guy's hands. They go down and score. Next thing you know, they're trying to play from behind, which is something you can't do against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos specifically.
When you get an interception off the heel of a defender, it's kind of Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong.
But, you know, good teams will be able to come back and capitalize the next time on something at their end, you know, because they can make their plays.
Yeah, and Jeff and guys, there's got to be a little bit of a lack of trust with this running game. You bring David Bosa's back. Booth goes to left guard. You have a rookie at right tackle, which is fine, and Pugh's fighting his butt off. But something's not working right. There's not a staple. There's not plays that are just working consistently. You're bringing different backs in and out, and, you know, Dave Wilson's trying to recover his fumbling issue from last week. So there just really has to be a little bit better trust, I think, in that running game. That's going to help the play action. It's going to help those slants. It's going to make those safeties suck up, and then you can get behind them with some better routes instead of just hoping for that big play all the time, whether it's Victor Cruz or whoever. That trust between what they're implementing and what actually is going on game day is a big discrepancy.
Yeah, well, it's a discrepancy, and so is the discrepancy was 41-23 on the scoreboard. That's the biggest discrepancy of the day. Anyway, we've got a lot more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live on My9. Brandon Jacobs, newly a new Giant again, along with Prince and Mukamura, both of them coming up in our next segment, so stay right where you are. All right, right now we'll go right back to MetLife Stadium for Eli Manning.
No, I think we'll bounce back. And I thought there were some good things. You know, first half, I thought we had our opportunities. I think that's where we did some really good things. We didn't get touchdowns. We had to settle for field goals. Second half just... had a weird interception off a foot. Got down a little bit, and then tried to fight back. Just when you get down a couple scores and start trying to press, it can kind of go good, either way. You can make some plays hopefully, but you also give opportunities to make some mistakes. We were in a bind, offensively, we got to get a little bit more balance. We got to run the ball better. Obviously, we got to, I got to eliminate the turnovers. But I think we'll keep fighting and get back on track. I know everybody in our division lost today, so the only way we can look at it, we're one game back in the division. We got to get back to winning some games. We'll have to look. I could go through each one probably, but just had a couple. I can think of one drop. Just had some misfires. I got some pressure on a few things. So I think a lot. A couple of them were down in the red zone that were unfortunate that we couldn't convert in those because that could have led to some more touchdowns and not field goals.
Does it feel similar to 07 Eli, or is that too much of a reach?
We just got to play better. So I'm not trying to make comparisons of years. Obviously, we're 0-2, and so you can make, you can look at the same, but we got to find a way to play better offensively. Our defense, I thought, played really well the last 2 weeks. They're playing great, so we got to help them out. We got to start, scoring some more points and putting the offense, the opposing offense, in a bind. I thought the week before, I think we were 3-for-5 in the red zone. It's not, that's not terrible. You're not going to score every time you get down there. You'd like to, but, this week just, first one, threw a little high to Brandon Myers and good play. Everything's executed well. The throw's a little high and don't get one there. A couple others we got to look to see how we can be a little bit better. Sometimes they just had some good defenses called. We were trying to go for some play action things. They covered them well, so had a play to Reuben Randall where obviously fumbled as he was going in. So there's just some plays where we're not as sharp as we need to be. Have some unfortunate things, so we got to play a little better down there.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, this is something we're both passionate about and love what we're doing. It's our job. So, my concerns are this team and getting back to winning right now.
Just if you would share any of the interaction that you did end up having. You got to speak before catching eyes. What was it like? What was the post-game?
You know, we got to talk a little bit before the game. We met up and just chatted for, you know, 10 minutes. You know, nothing specific. Just you know, brotherly talk. After that, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction.
The competitive part, any more disappointing?
No, I think, you know, it's all team related. It's you know, you want to go out there and play well. So you're, you know, frustrated that we're you know, lost another game and felt we had some opportunities early on to make it, you know, make it better. You know, second half, you know, their offense started clicking and making some plays. We had turnovers and just didn't catch many breaks. So you know, just really want to get back to where we're playing better football offensively and get back on track. No, just a bad decision by me. It's really just trying to, they kind of had us in a little bind on a blitz, and you know, trying to throw the ball away where you wouldn't get it, you know, an intentional grounding, but you know, get it close and just tried to, you know, unfortunate that just threw it in a spot where the guy can make a play.
Last one,
just on me, just you know, Ruben did the right thing, ran the right route, and I threw the wrong route. Well, I mean, it was obviously a great way to start the game. You know, defense got us a turnover, and you know, for our first play for, you know, offensively for us to hit Cruz on a big one down the field, and got another first down. You know, running with Brandon, so had a good drive going, and also had a third and long right there, and weren't able to convert on that one. Had to settle for field goal, but it was a good start. And again, you know, the first half, there's some really good things going on. We just didn't you know, finish some drives as well as we needed to. Yeah, obviously that's never a goal. You know, you kind of like to, you know, before the season set goals for, you know, keeping interceptions in the single digits. So, you know, might have to kind of start over from here on that aspect. You know, and obviously some of them happen, and you try to look at, you know, decisions, and you know, you get some bad breaks. Sometimes you get late in games, and you got, you know, fourth and 10, and you got to try to, you know, hey, we're going to try to make a play, maybe, you know, force something here, and you know, whether it's intercepted or incomplete, an interception probably ends up being better right there, you know, for us field position wise. But you know, at the end of games and when you're competing, I'm not you know, be aggressive, and I'm not gonna worry about you know, the stats or quarterback rating at the end. Obviously, I'm not trying to throw interceptions, but you know, obviously, you know, I'm just worried about getting back to playing better offensively and you know, obviously eliminating some of these turnovers.
Talk about wanting more balance. How do you go about making running game?
Well, I think you need a little, have some success in it. We got to run the ball better. You know, a lot of our runs early on weren't getting much yardage, if not losing yardage. So, you know, we just eventually said, all right, you know, we're going to get into a more three wide stuff and see if we can back them up, and that'll help the run game. But you know, it's just a combination of having some success with it, so you can get in better down in distance, and so that should, you know, slow down the pass rush and should help out our play action, help out our offense.
Thank you.
Back, Eli Manning. Amani, you mentioned earlier that Eli presses when he plays against Big Brother Peyton, but was the pressing today a result of not getting help? Now, he's not going to throw people on the buses, mm-hmm. but he wasn't getting any help, and the pressing came in the third and fourth quarter when it was getting out of control. There's no running game whatsoever.
Yeah, there is no running game, and the drops, that's something that we didn't talk about either. There was a lot of drops by the receiving corps, and those types of things don't give you, and get your, as a quarterback, they don't get you rolling and get your momentum going, and then you start to press, and you start to try and make up for all the incompletions with big plays, and Eli just didn't look as comfortable as he usually does. This is one of the only times I've ever seen him, you know, make those type of just throwing up Hail Mary balls in the end zone, because usually he's very composed and he always thinks that there is a way to get back in the game, and right there I guess he didn't have any confidence in his receiving corps, so he's just trying to have it one big strike and catch up that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, the start to this season for Eli reminds me of when you won your first Super Bowl with Eli. You were 0-2 then and looking
been lousy in the third game as well. You pulled it out and things. Let's hope it improves for Eli and the Giants next week down in Carolina. All right, we got a lot more coming up. That includes the newcomer who you'll be speaking to. He's the old newcomer, Brandon Jacobs, wearing number 34 now, along with Prince Amukamara. So we got a lot more. Stay right where you are. In the meantime, let's take care of a little business, shall we? Make sure that, real sure, that you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win a Canon PowerShot G16 compact digital camera. Adorama, folks, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Again, a lot more coming up, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. All right, little switcheroo here. Let's go right back down to MetLife Stadium where Paul Dottino has double T, number 24, Terrell Thomas.
Thank you so much, Ross. And Terrell Thomas joins us here after the Giants' defeat. And, you know, Peyton Manning is very intimidating to a lot of folks. You guys were not intimidated coming in. And quite frankly, I think defensively, you did a pretty good job containing him and keeping yourselves in the game. How hard was it as you watched it fall apart in the second half?
It was tough. You know, it was a couple plays here and there that we wish we got back. You know, we got to play better against the run. Gave up a couple plays in the red zone. You know, just little technique issues. Guys in the wrong spot. But it's a work in progress. You know, it's a tough loss. We thought we played well, battled well, but we got to play better as a team.
You know, Howard Cross and I were talking earlier during the break about big pass plays. There was a 51-yarder and a 34-yarder today. But outside of that, not too many throws downfield. Looks like their plan was to dig and dunk you. And obviously, that's how they were able to get their drives going.
That's definitely their offense, and they like to take their shots. But as a defense, we did a great job of taking away those big plays. He scrambled on one of them, you know, right when we had him in a sack. And other than that, you know, I think we did a good job of just playing over the top and tackling.
How much fun is it to play a legend like that? Where, I mean, you lost, you can't be smiling about it, but he's a legend. This guy's going down as one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and might be my last chance. You know, disappointed that, you know, I didn't get a pick, you know, didn't get the W against him. It is fun playing against him, but, you know, it would have been a lot better getting a win.
All right. Finally, what are your thoughts as you try to pick up the pieces to go to Carolina next Sunday?
We just got to get in sync. You know, offense has to play in sync with the defense along with the special teams. And when the offense is on, defense is off, you know, and that's our problem. You know, we can't turn the ball over. We got to make more turnovers. Got to stop the run. Got to run the ball. We just got to play better football. You know, we had a great week of practice. Didn't turn out well. So we're going to go back to the drawing board, keep working hard, and get this win next week.
Terrell Thomas, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. The three of us, that's one guy I'm glad to hear speak today because what he's been through and coming back and what was really good to see, Terrell Thomas, Jeff, was being extremely, you know, I thought physical. He was making stops, you know, both at the run and the pass. And to me, it shows he's not tentative with that the ACL, a third ACL.
No, he's not tentative. I mean, 2 years ago, he was the best player on that defensive team for the Giants. Now he's coming out. I think that he's getting more confidence every week in his knees. But more importantly, he's getting smart and getting back into the game. You know, when he's practicing all week, you never know with the injuries of Prince, if he was going to be on Wes Welker today, you know, where he's going to be playing in there. So he's going to be playing safety. A lot of us thought that maybe because of the injuries to the Stevie Brown that he might move back to safety. So he's very, very good in the sense that he can play a lot of different positions in there. More importantly, great to see him back, and he's having a good season so far.
Well, the improvement is coming. And his confidence after you just had to get a real big boost. All right, we've been promising you Brandon Jacobs and Prince Amukamara. They are coming up. We got a lot more, so stay right where you are. You are watching Giants Post Game Live right here for you on My9.
Giants Post Game Live, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
And obviously not the result that you wanted, but you're back in blue. You had a touchdown. I'm sure that felt pretty good.
Yeah, that felt really good. You know, we got a lot of work to do, you know, and all we got to do is come out and work hard, you know, and pay attention to what coach is telling us, you know, and just be positive, you know, because there's a lot of stuff right now that we can work on that, you know, that we're just not playing solid football right now. And, you know, it's going to take some time to get, you know, to get things in order. It's early in the year. We just got to, you know, play a little bit more fire.
You've only been here a few days, yet you were able to get some reps in this offense. How long will it take to see the regular Brandon Jacobs at 100%?
Well, you know, as long as the coaches, you know, think you need, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm working hard every day. I'm doing what I got to do. I'm excited to be here. So whatever they got for me, of course, I'm definitely going to take it.
We've talked about how you can provide a spark to this offense. Did you at least feel some of those intangibles in effect tonight?
I did. You know, I thought Darrell played well, you know, on third down. He had some protections that he got. You know, I think David ran hard. I think we did good backs, you know, as a group. But, you know, we still had the same outcomes, you know, as everybody else. So we just got to continue getting better.
Brandon Jacobs, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we knew that Peyton Manning was dangerous, and eventually they wound up putting up enough points to beat you, Prince. That'll be kind of difficult.
Yes, man. Our defense and offense, we have a lot of work to do in special teams, and we'll just correct it tomorrow.
How close were you to grabbing that fumble at the end of the third quarter? It was a one-point game. I thought it was a huge turning point.
That was a huge part in the game. We always stress any ball that's on the floors, that's on the ground, we have to pick it up, and we just didn't get that one.
All right, Prince, we'll go out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Brandon Jacobs and Prince Amukamara. Amani, you know, to me it looks like Prince, I'm not saying he's all there yet, but he's taking his game to that next level. He looks a lot more comfortable being an NFL professional.
Yeah, he does, but he had 10 tackles today, and that's not really that good for a defensive back. That means people are catching balls on you and people are in your area. But I think the theme that we're constantly getting here is that they don't really have any answers for what's going on. It just seems like everybody's kind of wondering in a cloud, kind of wondering why they're not performing well, and they know they're not. I just wonder who's going to be that spark to start everybody off to get this season started off with a win.
Well, you speak about a spark. Brandon Jacobs being brought back. Listen, it never ends well. I think he realizes he made a mistake. I think there is nobody happier in this area than Brandon Jacobs right now.
Well, I think a lot of fans were excited to see him do his, you know, his sprinkler move in the end zone when he scored
around
a touchdown. Whatever you call it.
Dance.
But I think Brandon Jacobs was brought here for a reason, and those are those intangibles, those things that you can't coach. Some of that, those intrinsic qualities in the locker room, when that leadership that's been missed, you know, a la Deion Grant, you know, Sam Madison when you guys won the 07 Super Bowl, you know, some of those kind of guys. I mean, that's why Brandon Jacobs is here. I mean, the running game will take care of itself. But, again, it goes back to some of the things that you put in during the week that you're almost going into Sunday before you see if they're really going to work. Because the physicality of the game has been reduced. You're not practicing hard. You're not in pads a lot. And the running game is something that just has to work well during the week. You can't just go to Sundays hoping certain things will work. And again, you have running back by committee, you know, that's a part of it. But the running game has to improve or else nothing else in the offense will work.
Yeah, 23 yards is not going to get it done.
Well, yeah, and the attempts, too.
It doesn't matter who's back there.
Yeah,
23
the attempts,
yards is not going to get it done.
Well, yeah, I'll disagree with you on one thing. I mean, Brandon coming back, they hope he provides a spark, but the reason he's also back because the next guy on the running backs list that they were going to call was me. So they're running out of
running
backs.
I think he's a better option.
Yeah, I think he's a better option. A little bigger anyway. All right, we got a lot more coming up, folks. We'll hear from kicker Josh Brown. Unfortunately, he had to kick too many field goals because they couldn't score enough touchdowns. The Giants, the result being a 41-23 Denver Broncos victory. You're watching Giants Post Game Live right here for you on My9. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. Final score, in case you were fortunate enough to miss it, 41-23. Giants on the wrong end of that score as little brother Eli loses to big brother Peyton and the Denver Broncos. Let's go back to MetLife Stadium now, where Paul Dottino was standing by with kicker Josh Brown.
Well, thanks, guys. And, you know, Josh, disheartening loss coming off of what happened in Dallas. I know you guys felt you had given that first game away. Tonight it got ragged again. How difficult is that to swallow?
Well, I think anytime you start off 0-2, it's, you know, you're digging yourself a hole to get out of. But you know, it's one of those things where you got to understand this is just, it's part of it. You got to play well and you got to continue to work. Mm-hmm. And you know, while these may be company lines, they are the essence of what we do. We work hard and you fight each week. This is never an easy thing. And any given Sunday is the saying that matters. It's the real deal. And it takes a consistent effort. It's a ton of work, ton of focus, and a ton of discipline. And, you know, we just got to continue to do those things to get back on track.
Now, Josh told me during training camp, you know, he's been around this league for a while, and he's seen a number of coaches and was very impressed with Coach Coughlin and this organization. It's one of the reasons he wanted to come here. So I ask you, as you try to dig out of this 0-2 hole, what is it about Coach Coughlin and his staff that make you believe you guys will be able to turn it around?
Well, I think more than anything, it's Coach Coughlin and what he stands for. I mean, it's about manning up, you know. And I mean, it's much deeper than just playing football. It's the discipline off the field as well. But I mean, you've got to work hard, and that's what they do. They're in here every day, and it's all the time. And they've got to find a way too. They've got to coach better. We've got to play better. You got to listen more. You got to practice better. You got to practice more deliberately, more intentionally. And so, you know, they got to continue to do the things that Coach Coughlin sets the example for. And, you know, we got to man up in a big way and continue to be disciplined and work hard and continue to be intentional every day.
Josh, final question. Coach has had many approaches to his team after a loss. Sometimes he's very angry and he lets you guys have it. Mm-hmm. In other cases, he just says, okay, we got to be quiet. We got to be calm. We got to move on. What was his reaction today?
It was pretty calm. You know, I'm kind of like you. You don't know what you're going to get. You got to understand that this is a performance-based business. And, you know, he was very, not positive, but stay positive. That was the message. We've dug ourselves a hole. Stay positive. Continue to work. Continue to push. And that's what we've got to do because, I mean, we are making some very controllable mistakes, you know, and that's the thing is do what you can control. And when things are falling apart that shouldn't be falling apart, then we've got to make those changes in the week.
All right, Josh, you got 14 games to go. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Thank you, Josh Brown. And listen, folks, the bottom line is when your kicker is your biggest offensive weapon of the day, it was not a good day for your squad. That's it for sure. Josh Brown, the contributor of 11 points, 2 via extra points, 3 via the field goal. But if the Giants weren't kicking field goals and maybe scoring some touchdowns, the outcome might have been different. But shoulda, woulda, coulda, does it get the job done? You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. I'm Russ Salzberg, along with my colleagues, Roman Obed, Jeff Fiegels, and Imani Tuma. We'll be back to wrap things up. I think we'll be speaking to Darrell Scott as well, so stay right where you are.
Thanks again as we're back in East Rutherford. And Darrell Scott, a big play for you at the end there, getting that touchdown, kind of scooting in with the ball. And, you know, obviously you get a little personal reward there, but I know you're disappointed with the game.
Yeah, very disappointed. I wish kind of could have been a different result of me getting in the end zone, but it still gave us a shot to try to come back last minute. But, I mean, it feels good, but we just got to bounce back, watch the film tomorrow, and just bounce back and get ready for Carolina next week.
Now, from your perspective, the running game is having a lot of trouble. What are you seeing that you think can be fixed in the course of a week now before you go to Carolina?
Just like I said, we got to go back to the drawing boards, and we just got to trust the offensive line, trust the offensive coordinator, put us in the right situation because that's not us. I mean, we have great running backs and David, myself, and Brandon and Cox. So we're great running backs and we'll get it together.
Now, this week the Giants went and brought Brandon Jacobs back for his second stint with this team. One of the things he brings is leadership, maturity, a spark. From your perspective, what was the running backs room like with the old number 27, now number 34 in that room?
He always gives that spark. When I was my rookie year, he kind of took me under his wings and kind of my big brother. So he gives you that spark and gives you that leadership and just to be out there and help you out. Because right now we needed that in the room because we don't have really any old guys in there, mm-hmm. the vets that have been in situations that he's been in. So it's definitely a plus to have him back. And we just got to get back next week and trust him, and he'll get us right next week.
Does he know that you called him old?
No.
Darrell Scott, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul and Darrell Scott, thank you very much. You know, one guy we didn't talk too much about, and I guess understandably so, was David Wilson because what do you have? I think it's 17 yards all total. But In fairness to David, he was holding on to the ball today, number one. And number two, my question is the lack of rushing, is that a result of lack of performance by the running backs or lack of cohesiveness up front?
Bob, I'll take over on this one. I know you were the offensive lineman, but I watched a lot of offense in my day. But I can tell you it's the product of the offensive line and not being physical like the Giants are normally, typically down in the trenches. That offensive line has to be a lot more physical getting out there. That's what has happened. David Wilson can run the football. He can. It's why he's a first-round draft pick. Yeah, he's got the fumble problems. The offensive line's got to have a little bit of attitude, come back in there, open up some holes again, and let this kid run. You know, whenever you have a problem fumbling, he actually is. It looked to me today like he was actually running with two hands. He's got to get back to normal, you know, high and tight.
Just being comfortable and
let him get back in there. But to answer your question, it's the offensive line to me. And I think that they need to be a little bit better in their jobs and opening the holes.
Well, let me ask you this, because you brought up a point when we were watching the game on the defensive line. They were getting close. Why don't you explain that technique? They were getting close to Peyton Manning, but not close enough. He eluded a couple of times.
Yeah, just like on offense, when you get in the red zone, you kick field goals. On defense, when you're getting close to Peyton Manning, you have a chance to sack and bring him down. You can't leave your feet and lunge at a quarterback that does have some mobility. I saw Sean Rogers. I saw Colin Jenkins do it on another play where you get close, maybe you have your hands up. Hitting Peyton Manning, getting him to the ground, or any quarterback for that matter, is going to make him uncomfortable, make him be hesitant on his throws. Next week, you're playing Cam Newton. They're 30th in the league in passing. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Tony Romo. You have to be better next week. I talked about this earlier, guys. Talk about the lack of trust. Darrell Scott said, we do have trust. We do have the right. It was good to hear him have that type of optimism, because you're going to have that. There's no other roster you can just bring in and start substituting guys. So you have to go at what you got, guys, and you have to believe that this is the formula that can get it done.
Yeah, one thing that bothers me is you keep hearing him say, oh, we're going to bounce back. They were never up to bounce back. The whole season, these guys have been asleep, and I think they need to really determine what type of team they want to be. You look at this team, the defensive front is supposed to be dominant. They didn't have a sack this game. You know, this is something that is exposing the whole defense. Peyton Manning ate him up for 41 points. It's just, I don't know when this team is going to wake up, but we all know that this team is a lot better than what they've been showing yet this season. And they really need to wake up and figure out what they want to be.
Well, isn't that what the frustration becomes all about? If you know you're better. Listen, if you're not good enough, you're just flat out not good enough, and the coaches know that. Mm-hmm. But when you're good enough and you're underperforming, and especially when you're working hard during the week, this is something that we've seen in past years. They work hard during the week, and the coach scratches his head because he can't figure out what the hell just happened on Sunday.
I hate working hard during the week.
Don't work hard during the week.
They're not practicing as physical as they used to. Yeah. Before this collective bargaining agreement, I mean, every day is like a modified, you know, jog through. And you look at the guys on the edges. Two plays that we saw was Matthias Kiunuko on one touchdown. It got around the edge. The other one was Justin Tuck. So they were a little soft on the edges. You know, it's not about just getting the sacks. Justin Tuck said that in preseason. But being a total defensive lineman, a total team, attacking the offender, wrapping up, all those things you have to do. When you get a quarterback in your grasp, you cannot leave your feet and attempt to tackle him. You've got to run through it, run through a running back, strip the ball, all those things you have to do, because that's what they're doing to the Giants on defense.
What I'd like to see this Giant team do coming into this Panthers game next week is to get back on offense, get some rhythm, get the running game going, get some of that physicality back that the Giants are known for. Defensively, we're not seeing a lot of turnovers out of this team. Last year, I know it's only two games into it, but the Giants defense were ball hawks all over the place. Start getting some more turnovers and really get back to that Giant football.
Yeah, I think the turnovers come with the pressure. The pressure, the quarterback feels uncomfortable. He starts throwing the ball up, throwing it earlier than he wants to. The balls get deflected. That's what the defensive line does. But with no sacks and giving up 100 yards, making Sean Moreno look like Walter Payton, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, Sean Moreno's whole career hasn't been amounted to anything, but if you turn on the film today and watch him running through the Giants defense, you'd think he's a legitimate back.
Well, bottom line is this, I think we all agree, gentlemen, that things, when we get next week, Sunday, September 22nd at 1 p.m., things need to be a whole lot finer down in Carolina. Otherwise, it's going to get real ugly in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Again, next Sunday, Giants, they take the show on the road down to Carolina to face the Panthers, 1 p.m. And as always, the show will be followed right here on My Nine with Giants Post Game Live. I am Russ Salzberg, along with Roman Oben, Jeff Eagles, Amani Tuma. Thanks very much for joining us. Giants need to improve. Hopefully they will. And we'll be right back here next week. that we hope is a much happier Giants post-game live. See you then.